Well, we continue looking at our lessons today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, washing hands before meals can be an issue in homes with children. Children forget or do a minimal washing or try to pretend that they've washed their hands when maybe they haven't. And it can be an issue at the table. Often the issue isn't just, well, are these hands really clean or not, but it has to do with who's in control of the situation. Or maybe we could say, how is the parent-child compliance factor going? It can be a reflection on the relationship about how the hand washing is going. Well, our first lesson makes a point about how law-giving is and law-keeping are really something deeper. It's a scene where the living of the people of Israel is at the end of the Exodus. They are getting ready to go into the Promised Land. And the law of God is reviewed before them as they prepare to go into the Promised Land. And they're reminded that the law that they have been given by God is a perfect law, better than any other law around. It's a just law, and it has high regard for people in it, more than the other laws around had. And at its heart, it is about having a good relationship with God. It's goodness. The goodness of the law, it says, is to remind them of how good God is and how good it is that they are in relationship with God. The fact that God should care so much about them to give them this good law is a reminder of God's love and concern for them. It's not just a law to have in the book someplace. It's a big part of their having a good and joyful relationship with God. Well, as time went on with the Israelites, as they were in the Promised Land over the years, sometimes they did better, sometimes they did worse with this law. For a time, in fact, they lost it completely and barely knew what it was when they found it. Later, much later after the exile, they renewed their relationship with God over the law and got so caught up with the law that they often forgot about their relationships with other people because they were so concerned about keeping the law in a correct way. While it was meant for good, the law has always been a tempting way to focus on the self and not on the bigger relationships around a person. Well, today we hear of Jesus being criticized by those who wanted everyone, lay persons included, to go by the very strict law that was intended for the priests, thinking that somehow this would please God if they would go above and beyond what was expected. So, not everyone necessarily was expected to wash their hands all the time. But this was a priestly law that you have to wash your hands when you came from the market and wash your hands when you sat down to eat. But Jesus says that this very strict kind of interpretation of a law that they were focusing on is often a way that it focuses on oneself. How am I doing with this law? Am I being perfect with God because I keep this law just right? And leads to a lot of self-centeredness rather than a view of the people around. In some cases, in some verses that our reading skips, you might see we had a couple of verses, skipped a couple of verses, had another couple of verses. Jesus mentions that those criticizing his disciples about the washing of the hand rules had conveniently ignored the commandment to honor one's parents. The third commandment is honor your father and mother that it may be well with you. But they were letting their parents starve because the priests were convincing them that it was better to give their money to the temple than it was to keep feeding their parents and help their parents out. That's looking at one law about helping the temple survive, but ignoring a law that has to do with parents. And so often when we get caught up in law keeping, we focus on the ones that we want to follow and let go of the ones that we don't want to follow. When these accusatory people around Jesus focus on the minutiae of the religious laws, they get consumed by them and forget that there is a larger relationship with God, and it was out of God's love for the whole people that these laws came to them in the first place. And Jesus says they think nothing of their wickedness, their adultery, their theft, their murder, their pride, while they focus on washing their hands. Well, in our second lesson today, James likens it to looking into a mirror and getting very self-concerned and very appearance-concerned, wanting every hair or every whisker to be in just the right place But when you leave the mirror, you forget about it all and go out and do nasty things. The key to remember is the relationship. Then people of God will not just be hearers of the word, James says, but be doers of the word. They remember that they are God's people, that they are in a relationship. And when you keep the focus outside yourself in the relationship, then you're much more inclined to do what God wants rather than just looking at oneself and saying, how am I doing this moment? The key is to keep the eye on God. With this self-centeredness that comes with concerns about the law, I'm reminded of Luther's symbol for sin. Luther said, sin is being curved in on oneself or turned in on oneself. And sometimes people try to demonstrate this idea of Luther and sin being curved in on oneself as on a chart they'll have an arrow that is curved and never gets outside the self, but it always stays in on oneself. It never points outward towards others. This reminds me of those little circles that show up on your computer now when you're downloading something and it goes into these little circles that keep going around and around and until the item is loaded. Well, that's the way we are in our sin. It's like we keep going around and around and around. We get caught in ourselves and in our own worlds, not letting others in, not getting out to help others, but we're consumed with what we want to do ourselves. We're just little circles turning in on ourselves. We need the big change that will let us get outside of ourselves. We need circles that go outwards instead of around and round on themselves. And the hint to that's in our first line from our gospel today. Mark says, now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who'd come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of the disciples were eating with defiled hands. Well, that's much more than just a little travel note that some people came from Jerusalem to see Jesus. Mark is giving us a hint here that something big will happen in Jerusalem, that issues of the law will be involved when that something big happens. The differences between Jesus and the priests start now already with issues around hand washing, but they will escalate. And we know what finally will happen in Jerusalem. They will put him on a cross because of his infractions of the law. At their insistence, this will happen. That's where it ends up. When I was in my first call in Nebraska, we pastors of this small town would regularly meet, and among them, the pastors, was the Catholic priest. He was a member of the Priests of the Sacred Heart. And every year or two, he would need to go to Rome for a meeting of the Society of the Sacred Heart. It always struck me, though, that there was such a thing as the Society of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Well, on Good Friday, we know how that Sacred Heart of Jesus stopped beating because he was killed on the cross. We also believe that by his giving up his Sacred Heart, our hearts were saved. He died with our hearts so that we and our hearts might have new life, begin to beat again in a new way, and be about that fruit-making of deeds that James mentions in his lesson. Our self-centered hearts that Jesus himself reminds us of put out all kinds of things, like evil intentions, Jesus says, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. All these things he took inside his own pure heart and died with them, that he might arise and that we might arise to live with new hearts. In a few minutes, as we bring our offering forward, we'll sing, create in me a clean heart, O God. Because of the forgiveness of Jesus and the life of the Spirit, we believe this can happen. We believe that instead of living selfishly and self-centeredly and having that computer kind of circle going on with inside of us and never doing anything more, because of what Jesus has done, that circle can break loose. And the new updated program in us can come alive. And we can do new things. We can do the things like James suggests in that second lesson. We can put aside the preoccupation with self and rule keeping and about thinking true religion is about keeping the law. And we can be about what James calls that which is true religion, looking outward from ourselves. And as he said, that it can be the same as caring for the orphans, caring for the widows in their distress. It can be about the Lord's mission and not about the world's agenda. Instead of making religion mostly about my heart, we can blend our renewed hearts and voices together with others in the Christian community. And instead of bickering at the table about who did and didn't wash their hands, we can join our hands in prayer and thank God that we are together and that we have food to eat. Instead of thieving, either by outright grabbing things or by quick sales and shady deals, we can help those around us keep and improve and protect their property. Instead of being a part of harm and murder, we can help those around us be safe and live with justice. We can be about that which will bring health and healing to all. Instead of taking sexual advantage of others, we can help people have their rights and bring justice to those in slavery. Instead of speaking ill of others and putting them down to lift up ourselves, we can lift them up, speak well to them, and speak well about them. With our new hearts given us by the Spirit of God, redeemed for us by Jesus, we're able to be part of that new creation that builds up and lifts up the world rather than tearing it apart and putting it down. Jesus names that all these things that come from the heart, from the evil side of the heart, they're all self-centered and not God-centered. But with redeemed hearts, we have through Jesus a way to do make the world new, and new things can come out of us. Like we were saying with the flower and the white flowers coming out of the red flower, we can make our own good things to do, our own list of good things to do for in our part of the world, so that we're showing the goodness of God around us when the heart is anew in the love and the light of Jesus. The church has always known, as it did in Mark's day, this tendency to want to slip back. Mark's gospel was likely written to Christians who were having a real struggle being Christians. Being between the Romans and the Jews, it wasn't an easy place to be. And they were a hard time keeping with the community and with the message that they were given in this time of persecution. And so Mark is encouraging them with these words. And the reason that they gathered weekly was because they needed to gather weekly around the Lord's table, because it was so crucial to them. That fellowship around Jesus and his word and the table is still what gives us strength to live with our new hearts. We give God thanks for these gifts that God gives us, the ability to be together and the ability to receive him and his meal. And so that means that we can live as ones who don't spend so much time checking out how ritually clean things are around us, but rather counting the ways and the times we can be God's blessing to others. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.